Sometimes we all start packing around a bigger burden than what we really should. And we're going to be looking at some of that tonight. It was interesting. You know, the Lord, I know the Lord has a sense of humor. A couple of weeks ago when Pastor asked me, you know, to speak at this Wednesday night, and I do what I always do, usually, you know. I went to bed that night. And I'm lying there and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? If he doesn't give me anything to speak, man, I'm in trouble. I mean, I can't just out of the blue come up with something. I can't do that. I've got to have something from him. This was the most interesting because what he told me was R-I-P. That's it, R-I-P. And then he gave me it with rest in peace. You know, and I'm thinking in my sense, you know, tombstone with R.I.P. on it, you know, or something. You know, and then I got thinking, well, you know, in a sense, it was like I was dead. The heart special or the heart surgeon told me I shouldn't be here. I should have been dead a long time ago. So it's almost like, you know, like a water baptism, you know, where you go down in the water, you leave the old nature down there, and you come up a new man in Christ Jesus to serve him. Well, I kind of get that feeling that I'm coming out of that background, out of that hole, out of that thing that I was going through. And new light, lease on life, God's not done with me yet, you know, and we got lots of stuff to do yet, Lord. I'm in his hands. Praise God. Anyway, so R.I.P. and rest in peace. Father, we look to you tonight. Lord, I can't do anything without you. And I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, to give me words to speak. Lord, give me just exactly what you want your people to hear. Touch my heart. Touch my spirit. Let your anointing rest here, Lord. And I give you praise and thanks, Lord. I humble myself before you. I give myself to you, Lord. I'm yours, and I pray that you will use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As I thought about what the Lord asked me to do or preach on, I decided, well, that's a pretty good thing, preach on. You know, many of God's people today are severely lacking in the rest of God and the peace of God. A lot of people don't have that sense of rest. It's like they're struggling. It's like they're in a battle all the time. It's like, you know, and they don't have the peace of God. And I really think they go together. To have the rest of God, you have to have the peace of God. And to have the peace of God, you have to have the rest of God. So we want to look at this subject tonight. And with all the turmoil in our world today and the constant oppression from the enemy, and I'm sure you all agree with me, the enemy is going after God's people like I think probably more than any other time in history. With the oppression of the enemy, many Christians lose sight of the promises in God's Word that bring great comfort and help to us in our time of need. They lose sight of the promises. They forget, or maybe they've never learned, the powerful resources of God's Word. They forget that the answers to all of our distresses and situations can be found in the Word. So we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. And I'm looking at entering the rest of God. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a tremendous scripture right there. Some of us are packing loads that we really shouldn't be packing. You know, and maybe we don't know any different. I've always done this. This is the way it's been all my life. I'm packing this load. But Jesus says he'll give us rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. We're packing this load. He takes our big heavy load off of us and he gives us his little load. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I don't know if you've ever, you know, some of us guys especially, I'm sure ladies have too sometimes, but sometimes we get out and we're really working hard, really working hard. I mean, it's, you know, and it's kind of nice to come up for rest once in a while and just kind of kick back and take a little deal of water, you know, or something. And but God gives will give us this rest. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The idea of rest there is to relax, to refresh. Take it easy. Stop working. You know, sometimes we get, it's like, we gotta do it. We don't have any choice. We just gotta do it. And, sometimes, yeah, I'm reminded of, Jesus talking to Martha, remember? She was busy in the kitchen doing the stuff, you know, and everything. Mary sitting out there doing nothing, just listening to Jesus and said, tell her to come and help me. He said, Martha, you're just too busy about this stuff, you know, stuff that's not that important. So we need to have this rest. And so we sometimes need to relax and take it easy, stop working. I'll be looking into some of that in a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. For if Joshua had given them rest, then they would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has also ceased from his works as God did from his. You know, we need to have faith in God's ability or his willingness to help us. We need to have faith in God's ability to do that. One of our problems sometimes is, like we gotta help God out. I know somebody pretty close. Their kids. So you'd be praying for their kids and everything. But yet she's right there in the midst of everything trying to run the kid's life instead of allowing God to do something. God says, you're not giving me a chance. You know, you're stepping in and trying to do it yourself. And that does not work. That does not work at all. So quit trying to make things happen or try to help out God. God is the one that's given us a calling. He has the perfect plan for us. He doesn't need any help from us to help him on this plan. We can't do anything in ourselves when you really think about it. All that we can do is add, okay, I'll give you an illustration. Abraham, and what did he do? Okay, he was promised that he would have, him and Sarah would have a son. So what did they do? They decided to help God out because it wasn't happening right away. We live in this microwave society, you know. And sometimes, you know, we pray and everything and nothing seems to be happening. And we forget that God doesn't always pay on Fridays. You know, it doesn't always happen. We live in this microwave society. We expect God to do this, answer this instantly. Right now, Lord, it's important. And it's like God has all the time in the world. He's not concerned with time at all. And so we can't really do anything in ourselves anyway, so you might as well sit back and do what God wants you to do and not worry about it. We're invited to be workers together with God. And as He leads us by His Spirit, we can do what He asks us to do. You know, you're not going to be rewarded for the things that you just jump out there and do on your own. You could be doing all kinds of good things in this world. But if it's not what God's called you to do, you're not going to get any reward for that. You need to be doing what God has lined up for you to do. So we're invited to be workers together with Him. And when we allow Him, when we're following Him, well, I'm thinking of a scripture. I'm going to mention it here. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will make it into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we've cast out devils in your name, we've done signs in your name. And he'll answer in the next verse, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You see, they were doing stuff. They were doing good kinds of stuff if God called them to do that. But they never had a relationship with Him. And everything that we do needs to come out of a relationship with Him. We need to be inviting Him. Lord, what are we doing today? You know, you need to invite Him to walk with you. And I'll tell you something. We've been doing that more and more. And it is absolutely amazing how God opens up doors and leads you in places that, you know, and things happen, you know, that you didn't even expect that were good. It just blows my mind sometimes to see God at work. And it's so exciting to see that. And when we do what He asks us to do and everything, God gets all the glory. Because we didn't initiate it, He did. He gets all the glory. And so what we need to do is to cease from our own works, our own ideas of what God, what we think we ought to do. And we need to rely and trust in Him. It comes out of relationship. Relationship. Cease from our works, our own works, and rely and trust in Him. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You think about that. The God of peace brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead. Now, if He can do that, you know, it's been not that long ago that I've come to understand that God is the main one that's working. And Jesus, what He did down here is only what He saw the Father doing. And the Father is at work doing these things. So what we need to do is to do the same thing that Jesus did. I only do what I see the Father doing. I need to get into that relationship with Him so that I can know and understand what He wants us to do. And if He can raise Jesus from the dead, that's pretty powerful. The God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will. Not our will, His will. Working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's what He is striving to do. He wants to make us complete in every good work. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which the Father has prepared in advance for us to do. Hallelujah. God's already prepared the works for us. All we've got to do is get in tune with Him and then get into what He's wanting to do. Hallelujah. So He wants to make us complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Think about it this way. If Jesus is the head of the church, He's like the building superintendent or the one that's in charge of the building. He's building, we're being built up a temple for God. And if He's the main boss on it, and you got all these contractors that are coming in, you know, you got the plumbers, you got the carpenters, you got the electricians, you got all these different ones. Well, there's got to be order, and if you're building, there's got to be order. So someone's got to be in charge. And Jesus is the one that's in charge. He's the head over all things to the church. So if suppose that we're just getting started here, maybe, and maybe somebody's working on the foundation, and that's good. We have to have a good foundation. And the electrician comes in and just starts hanging wires all over the place. Well, we're not ready for that yet. And see, sometimes when we come in there and step in and do what we think is good things, God's not even in it because He's not working there. Jesus said, where I am, that's where My people are at. We need to be doing what He wants us to do in His timing. I believe we're looking at a great, wonderful, glorious, and mighty church that's going to be coming out of all of this for the glory of God. I believe that with all my heart. And in order to have that happen, we've got to be workers together with Him. We've got to do what He wants us to do. And then we'll see great and wonderful things, and we'll bring glory to God. Hallelujah. So now, another thing, we enter the rest of God, but then we need to increase our knowledge of the Word. Knowledge? Yeah, knowledge. Knowledge. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be given you a little dribble once in a while. No. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how do you get knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord? In the Word of God. Are we reading the Word every day so we can get some knowledge of Jesus and God? See why it's so important that we need to be in the Word daily. We need to be in the Word daily. And grace and peace will be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us a few things that pertain to life and godliness. No. He's given to us all things. A-L-L. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Anything that we need for life and godliness, He gives to us. Hallelujah. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, and by which have been given to us exceeding, not just great, but exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. See, we have to get to know God. We need to get close to him. We need to have a relationship with him. He's the one that called us by his glory and virtue. And it's so important right here. And which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So people will say, well, I don't know what the answer is. I'm just struggling and going, moving along and everything. Well, you need to get in there and find out what great and precious promises God has given to us. And you need to start applying those to your life. Hallelujah. And the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, means much more than the absence of conflict. It carries with it the ideas of adequacy for life, confidence, and fullness of life. And did you know that you can have perfect peace in the midst of turmoil? You can have perfect peace in the midst of conflict. You can have perfect peace in the midst of whatever you're going through. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. And then we need to put on the armor of God. The armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brother, be strong in yourself and get a backbone. No. No, it's not anything like that at all. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. And put on the whole armor of God. He didn't just send us out in the world without any protection. He's given us some armor. But we're the ones that have to put it on. He doesn't put it on for us. We have to put it on. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me tell you something. The old devil's been around a few years, a lot longer than us. And I don't want to give him too much credit, but he's smarter than we are. Except for what we know about Jesus, about the Lord. He's had a lot of time to practice his lies and his innuendos. So he has these wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, where we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not against somebody over here that's really nasty and everything. No, it's not. It's against the principalities and powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not just part of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, a lot of times God doesn't send us out here. He says, we want to stand here. We want you to stand here. Take a stand for what's right. Stand for what's good. And you just stand there. He's the one that does the work. So the battle is the Lord's. He's the one that does the work. And all he wants us to do sometimes is to take a stand for him. And so we're able to done all. When we've done all, then we stand. Stand there having girded your waist with truth. That's important to have truth, isn't it? There's so many people out there being fed with lies. And religion will tell you a lot of lies about God. I believe Christians, true Christians, have been really messed up over many years because of religion. So we need to have we girded our waist with truth. We have to have truth. And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's a beautiful thought there, because it's not my righteousness. It's His righteousness. Lord, give me Your righteousness. Hallelujah. And I'm standing here and righteous. I'm righteous before God because I have His righteousness on me. Hallelujah. And then, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we need to have these feet ready to move out to do what God wants us to do. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is so important. So how do we get faith? By reading and hearing the Word of God. Get faith through the Word. Hallelujah. And the shield of faith, when the darts are going to come in and everything, the shield of faith will whack them off. The shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then take the helmet of salvation. The helmet's very important. Protects our brain. Protects our thinking. Did you know the enemy attacks us through our mind? This is where it comes. He came to Eve and he said, "Has God said?" You know, it's like, puts these thoughts in here. It's the mind. This is where he attacks us, through our mind. Through deception, through lies, innuendos, mostly deceptions and lies. And he really hasn't learned any new tricks, in a sense. He's the same old devil, uses the same old garbage. You think that we would wise up to him, you know? He doesn't use anything different. And I don't know if you ever noticed, but truth will definitely win out over lies any day of the week. People can see the truth. And the lies, the only thing they can do is trying to discredit the one that's proclaiming the truth. That's why they try to marginalize everybody that speaks the truth. Or they try to take them out or diminish them or wipe them out in some ways. Because they can't compete with truth. Truth is truth. Truth always wins. Hallelujah. And so the Word of God, the helmet of salvation is very important. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, we have some offensive stuff we can do. It's the Word of God. We need to use the Word of God, or our sword, against the enemy. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and the devil came up and tried to tempt him, he said, "It is written." And he quoted scripture in the Old Testament. That shot down what the enemy was trying to do. And we need to use the sword of the Spirit. That's why, again, it's so important to know the Word of God. The more we know it, the more easier it is for us to attack the devil when he comes at us. So we use the Word of God against the enemy. And as we're led by the Spirit, He'll bring the Scripture to us. I don't know if you noticed this, but sometimes when you're really going through a struggle or going through something and everything, then the Holy Spirit just starts bringing these Scriptures to you. And as you meditate on them, you come out of it, you're the victor. Hallelujah. You get the victory. And so He'll bring that Scripture to our mind, and we speak it out against the enemy, and it's powerful. Hallelujah. And it happens a lot of times in prayer, you know, when we're praying. it's pretty amazing sometimes. I know there's times I've prayed that, and I'm not a great prayer for the most part, but when the Spirit comes on you and He starts quickening stuff to you, and it's amazing. Your mind boggled yourself because of what's coming out of your lips by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's another reason why we really need the Holy Spirit. And when we get that and we speak that out against the devil, the word is powerful. It goes out there and it accomplishes something. It won't return void. It will accomplish that which God purposed. Hallelujah. So we need to use the word. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6. It's a good scripture. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Weapons are not carnal. Remember, our enemies, the spiritual ones up there, the demonic powers, the principalities, the powers, all that up there is our warfare. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And you use the word to do it. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that's so important. We cast down arguments. Where does it come from? Knowledge. Knowledge. We cast down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How important is it to do that? Hallelujah. Bring all my thoughts into the captivity and obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we're going along and we're being obedient and everything. Maybe something comes along and we're starting maybe thinking about disobedience a little bit. And no, you cast that down. You punish that. You come against that in the name of Jesus. You do not accept disobedience at all. We're ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And then I like Philippians 4. Verses 6 through 9. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Remember when Jesus, He told His disciples one day, okay, we're getting in the boat, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. So He gets in there and He goes to sleep. Well, He said we're going to the other side of the lake. So they get out in the lake and all of a sudden a big windstorm comes in and up and there's water coming in the boat and they're dangerous sinking. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. We're going to the other side. That means we're going to the other side. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then meditate on these things. Have you ever had something devil stuck in your mind and you can't get rid of it? I'm not going to think about that. And the harder you try not to think about it, you're still thinking about it because you're trying to get rid of it. Well, there's a secret right here. Here's how you get rid of that. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So what do? You switch gears and you start thinking about good things. You start thinking about the Word of God. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You know, and just start quoting Scripture. Well, you can't have two things in your mind at the same time. So that one will overthrow the other one pretty soon. It's gone. So that's how you get rid of bad thoughts. You can't just do them just because, I'm not going to think about that anymore. Because you are thinking about it. So on those things, then meditate on those things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is basically Paul's example. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Said, these things are the things that you've learned, received, and heard, and saw in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. And you'll have the peace of God. Hallelujah. So follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we can't get to heaven on our parents' salvation. We can't get to heaven on our pastor's salvation. We have to have our own salvation. So it says, work out your own salvation. Doesn't mean doing your own thing. It means that you have to personally have your experience with God. You have to personally go to Him and recognize you're a sinner and ask for forgiveness of sins and Lord, make me part of your family. You know, you're the one that has to do that. You can't rest on your parents or your pastor's salvation. And you do it with fear and trembling. Because you need to be ready to be right with the Lord. When He comes, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. So we have to have our own personal salvation, our own personal relationship. And you know something, our calling that we have, each one of us, it's really bigger than us. It's bigger than we can do in the natural. Okay? If He asks us to do something, can we do it? If He asks us to do it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do some things. Some of the things He tells me to do. No, all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, if Christ is there strengthening me, how can I not do it? I can do it. I don't have a problem. Peter said, can I come and walk on the water to you? Jesus said, come. And he walked on the water. Yeah, he went down eventually. He looked at the waves and everything. He went down and Jesus saved him. But he went out there and walked. He did what the Lord asked him to do. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we're doing what He is asking us to do, He shall supply all that we have need of to accomplish that purpose. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how much riches and glory has up there? Oh, I don't think we'll run out of, He won't run out of stuff to give, come our way. He'll supply all of our needs. have the whole resources of heaven for us. Hallelujah. And then Psalms 4:8. I will both lie down in sleep, in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It is so nice to have enough trust in God that you can lie down in peace and sleep. That's so wonderful to be able to do that. I think back on the times over the last year that I've been in the hospital and everything, and it gets kind of lonely, you know, and I've been in there for 7 days, you know, stuff like that. But I had the peace of God through it all. I had the peace of God. I will both lie down in peace and sleep for you, Lord. O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Here we come with that big word again, trust. I don't know, I've been hit with that word so many times here over a period of time. Have to trust in God. You know, God's so much bigger than we are. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And we get this thinking, you know, and we pray that God's going to answer us, boom, right there, right away. I'm sorry, he doesn't always do that. It will be in his time, and it'll be just in time. He doesn't have to do it until it's really needed. And so you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I'm reminded of, I think it's Deuteronomy, I think around chapter 28 or somewhere. It talks about the blessings and the curses. Remember that? If you do all these things here, you'll be blessed. But if you do these things here, you're going to be cursed, okay? So we get that all in our mind and everything. And so as we're going through life and maybe something comes up and we're, this isn't supposed to be happening. I'm doing good and yet this seems to be happening. What do you do in a situation like that? Trust. You have to trust that God knows what he's doing. Look at Job, what Job went through. And Job never did know. They never did. Job was never told what the whole thing was about. It was a deal between God and Satan. And he was never told what it was. We see it because we can read about it, but Job didn't have that. And so there's times, you know, his helpers, his friends, so-called friends, all they could say, well, Job, you're just going through this because you've sinned. So you got to repent and get right with God. Well, he hadn't sinned, you know, and so he had the whole deal of what's going on with Job. He never did understand it. But what did Job do? He trusted, and he never backed off of his deal. I'm justified in through God, you know. He always did the right thing. And God says more than one place that the Lord said he was justified. So there's a place that we need to do. We need to trust God, even when it doesn't seem to be right. We need to trust God. Hallelujah. John 14:27. Peace. Here we go. Peace. I leave with you. It was nice when Jesus left. He said, I'm giving you peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yeah, trust. In him. Hallelujah. So he gives us this peace. not as the world gives. The world can give you peace. It might only last a day or two. But the Lord gives us peace even when we're going through difficulties and troubles. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There's nothing like having the Holy Spirit within you. Hallelujah. And righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not eating and drinking. It's not anything like that. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit is what the kingdom of God is all about. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that's one we need to hang on to always. We need to hang on to that. The old devil comes along and he makes it seem like we don't have any power. He can do whatever he wants to us. No, I got news for you, Satan. I got news for you. Greater is he that's within me. You want to wipe me out? You're going to have to wipe Christ out, because he's living within me. Hallelujah. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So when you think about this life and think about our burdens and some of the things that we carry with us and everything, we just need to remember that the Lord expects us to put our trust and our confidence in him. And he doesn't want us to pack a bigger load than what we're supposed to. The load that he has for us is very light in comparison with the load that we pack on our shoulders. Especially the sinners out there. Man, they're packing a horrible load out there. But we can do that too if we're not careful. So we need to look at God's peace. We need to look at God's rest. And hallelujah. And he gives us the answers that we need. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. I thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us to the end of the age. You never leave us nor forsake us. God, I pray that as this, we're living in this topsy-turvy world that we're living in today, Lord, I believe it's a time, Lord, when you are going to demonstrate your power in ways that this world has never seen. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Help us, Lord, to walk in faith and confidence in you. Help us to realize that you are at work. This is your world. You're not letting the devil have it till it's time for him. Lord, I just pray that you will just give us your peace. Help us to rest in you, Lord. Help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, we commit our ways into your hands. We just love you and praise you. I ask you to bless Pastor and Jesus, Lord, as they're on this journey with the other Church of God people. Lord, bless our time together, Lord, and just give them, bring them back home safely, we pray. And Lord, just be with us and guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus on you. Help us, Lord, to be in the Word and strengthened with might and power in your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.